Okay, agenda item number 9. The City of Lompoc Stormwater Management Program. Mr. Briggs.
Thank you. Maybe I can, before we get to our staff presentation on this, ask for an answer to a question here. I received the testimony cards from the Home Builders Association, Jerry Bunin. Where's Jerry? Jerry's not here. Okay. Jerry Bunin, the Home Builders Association, Government Affairs Director. Jerry, staff said that you wanted to go first. Are you? Does that mean that you can't wait around and through? Okay, I want to make sure. Oh, okay. So we'll take you pretty much in order then. All right. I didn't understand how urgent your request was. So that with that taken care of, item number 9, as I said, City of Lompoc Stormwater Management Program, and this is one of the series of many so-called phase 2 municipal stormwater system permit enrollments that we're processing now per the board's direction starting from a discussion we had in this very room a year ago, and then a follow-up discussion at the next board meeting in December of nearly a year ago with your direction on how to proceed with our enrollment strategy. And presenting our staff report today is Dominic Rock.
Thanks, Roger. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Item 9 is a recommendation to approve the City of Lompoc's stormwater management plan, which I'll probably call a swamp from here on out, and to enroll the city under the Phase 2 municipal stormwater permit. In the presentation, I will cover some background for the item and present to you context for both the process that we are involved in to enroll this city and other cities under the permit, as well as the water quality conditions that are particular to Lompoc and its stormwater management challenge, and present public comment that we've received and present a recommendation. In October, as Roger pointed out, last year in this very room, you directed Water Board staff to propose options for resolving some of the obstacles that we were having to approving and stormwater management plans and enrolling the communities under the permit. And you asked that we bring back a plan that would enable us to move forward on this. So 2 months later, in December of 2007, we did present a strategy. And that strategy included an aggressive schedule for swamp review and approval. It attempted to shift the emphasis to critical water quality priorities. It prioritized the enrollment cycle and sequence into 8 different cycles of enrollment. And you also directed us to really bring to bear on this process the lessons learned from all of our past experiences, as well as what else is happening throughout the state with similar regulatory activity. I think that you're aware, of course, but I think many members of our audience are probably also aware that the Central Coast Water Board has really embraced a vision of healthy watersheds that have healthy aquatic habitat, sustainable land uses, and clean groundwater. And we viewed the enrollment process as an opportunity to align the stormwater program, which is one of the board's most significant regulatory programs, with this vision. A critical tool for doing this was the notification letter that was the first step of the enrollment process. It has since become known as the February 15th letter because of the date of its issuance. And in that letter, we were making an effort to express the board's direction and to focus the development of stormwater management plans by the communities. We identified in the letter specific water quality goals for healthy watersheds, the maintenance of natural runoff, volumes and rates, the maximization of infiltration of clean water, minimizing pollutant loading, and protecting riparian habitat. And we also included a schedule for adoption of hydro modification controls. We indicated that staff would recommend approval of a stormwater management plan if it included a schedule to develop hydro modification controls. And if the communities weren't able to do that, we provided a set of interim criteria that would be, in effect, a default set of criteria. Before I launch into more of this process, I think it's worth taking a minute to step back and make sure we all know what we mean when we say the words hydromodification. Hydromodification refers to the effects of urbanization on runoff and stream flows that in turn may cause erosion and or sedimentation in stream channels. That's considered its root definition. Now, you'll often hear the term hydromodification impacts, which really just is an elaboration or an extension of that to include some of these secondary and tertiary level impacts associated with hydromodifications like riparian area disturbance, habitat destruction, disturbance, aquatic life impacts, and impacts to other beneficial uses. You'll also hear the term hydromodification control. It's a term that we've introduced into this process. And it refers to the actions that can be taken to reduce the physical effects of high volumes and rates of stormwater discharge. But it may provide additional benefits such as infiltration, filtration of pollutants, and habitat protection. Hydromodification criteria are quantifiable measures established for hydrologic parameters such as volume and rate, duration, time of concentration, and geomorphic parameters such as erosion potential and entrenchment ratios to prevent hydromodification. There was an undeniably strong reaction to the February 15th letter from dischargers and from the development community who would be affected by hydromodification controls, and it required that the board staff engage in a fair amount of outreach. So we conducted outreach to city staff, to public works directors, to engineers in the consulting world and in the development world, and to developers themselves.
Excuse me a second. Do we have this February 15th letter in our packet?
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Okay, I'm just not able to find it.
It's after the resolution, which
attachment
is
two.
After the blue, it's the second attachment after the blue pages.
Okay. Sorry about that, I should have mentioned. So the amount of response and feedback we were getting was really focused on a couple of things, namely that there was they were going to need more time to do this, and they needed some flexibility in this arrangement of developing interim criteria. And so Water Board staff did respond and was responsive to those requests by providing more time and flexibility. And specifically, we revised from 6 to 12 months the amount of time that the cities would have to develop their own interim criteria. We presented examples of quantifiable measures and a framework for developing quantifiable measures in support of healthy watersheds, including numeric criteria for hydromodification. We reaffirmed the board's legal authority to require hydromodification controls, which was questioned and continues to be questioned in today's hearing, I presume. And we retained the February 15th criteria as the default criteria in the event that the cities cannot develop acceptable alternatives. We've continued the outreach surrounding this. I should mention the July 10th letter is also in your packet. And it was how we followed up with the February letter. But it continues to require additional outreach and involvement. We've had a sizable meeting with the development community at our offices on August 1st. Staff has attended public meetings of commissions and councils to address the need for hydromodification controls. And, of course, we continue face-to-face interaction with the communities that are developing their stormwater management plans. So in summary, in the past year, we've designed and launched an enrollment strategy. We've notified the agencies of our expectations of their stormwater management plans, of the content of those plans. We've conducted extensive outreach. We've adjusted the schedules and timing of our expectations in response to the feedback we're getting. We've provided additional guidance to the communities in the July 10th letter. We've commenced the phases of enrollment as identified in the schedule. And we've also started the Central Coast Low Impact Development Center, which is there to provide further assistance to agencies and consulting engineers. So today's meeting is really an important milestone. It's been a year since you directed us to get cracking on stormwater management plan approvals, and we now find that we have five of our eight enrollment cycles underway, 16 stormwater management plans under preparation and review, 3 swamps that are pending approval by the executive officer, 1 swamp approved, and in the first 6 postings of stormwater management plans, only 1 hearing has been requested. And then today we have the recommended approval of the Lompoc swamp. There is an asterisk, you know, 2 asterisks on there, because yesterday, late afternoon, we received a letter from the city of Santa Maria, which was the one approved stormwater management plan, asking asking for a hearing on the board's action to approve that, or on the executive officer's actions. And apparently they need about 15 minutes of time to explain that to you. So not necessarily today, but they want a hearing on December 5th. So I'd like to change gears now and move from the process of the enrollment to the specific circumstances of the city of Lompoc and its stormwater management challenge. The city of Lompoc is a small city. It has a population of about 42,000 people. It was incorporated in 1888, which is fairly old compared to some of our other communities on the Central Coast, like Goleta, which was just incorporated in 2002, and will also be under a stormwater management program. It has a precipitation of about 15 inches per year. It's highly variable. This is a Mediterranean climate. And it's situated in an alluvial valley that's mostly flat and built out in the within the boundaries of the current city. This is where Lompoc is situated, within the Santa Maria alluvial, I'm sorry, the Santa Ynez alluvial valley here. The city itself is this checkerboard or kind of mottled appearance upstream of the checkerboard pattern of agriculture. This is the Santa Maria River that winds around, hits some sort of a structural, I keep saying Santa Maria, sorry about that, the Santa Ynez River. It flows around, hits some sort of a declivity in the landscape, pushes it north, and then it flows along to the ocean there. There's a stormwater basin there that controls flows out of the San Miguelito Creek, which is a major tributary. The city of Lompoc also includes a portion of area north of the city.
Dominic, could you show us where San Miguelito Creek is?
Yes. This is the, it flows north, so it flows, there's a watershed. The watershed kind of is outside of the image here, but the entire watershed is up here, and you can see the actual form of the channel there, and that's in the hills above Lompoc. And it, again, you can see in this kind of washed out picture, but this is a topographic relief map, and it indicates that the city is primarily within this flatter portion, though there are some portions that are in the hills north of town, and then the San Miguelito Creek is this shaded drainage right there.
Dominic, you showed where it comes into the city. Could you continue on to the river, maybe with a previous
Okay. Actually, this slide. Next one is where I want to do that.
Okay.
Again, San Miguelito Creek comes in. It encounters a stormwater detention basin to prevent flooding. It then enters a storm channel, which is a straight line that goes all the way up and exits into the Santa Ynez River. Sorry. Just to the northeast side of town, northwest side of town.
And where's the area where the trash has been accumulating? in the creek?
I've actually not seen the trash. This is a reported problem, and the city can probably describe more detail, but it is down in the channel below the exit of the storm drain. And there's some discussion about whether its source is, you know, backwater flooding from upstream sources that are getting caught in here, but it exists and it needs to be resolved. That's the basic problem.
And it just dumps directly into the river at that point?
Yes.
It enters
that riparian gallery forest, kind of that riparian forest environment. The channel is maintained at that point by the County Flood Control District, which goes in on a routine basis to maintain a free and open channel so that they don't get backing up into the storm drain system. That riparian zone there could be both, viewed as a buffer, but it could also be viewed as a resource at risk to stormwater flows.
And when the creek goes through town there, it's an open ditch?
Yeah. In fact, I'm going to describe that in
some
pictures as well. So so this is the schematic. It's kind of a small-scale map, but it in red you'll see these primary flood control channels that go up to the river. But there's also outfalls along the river in different places throughout the city. There's also an east-west channel, which is a primarily earthen channel that's a ditch. The San Miguelito Creek, obviously, has been channelized by the county and maintained as a flood control facility primarily. No longer a creek in the conventional sense of the word. It looks like this. It's a concrete channel through town. Has a little bit of flow in it, even in a dry season, because of various kinds of non-stormwater drainage. There's more components of the storm drain system, which is really a combined surface streets, concrete and earthen channels, and stormwater outfalls. There's a lot of concrete in this picture. It's a double culvert coming out into the channel. This is the east-west channel, which exists, as I pointed out, kind of middle northern part of town, goes east-west. It's primarily an earthen channel with some vegetation allowed to grow in it. Some of that vegetation is exotic. You have unprotected culverts. You have a kind of a classic urban stormwater ditch look to it. This is downstream of that location. It's kind of turning my back from that other picture. It shows a protected concrete apron to help protect the bridge and the crossing there, and then it returns into this earthen channel with some access roads for flood control maintenance. And you might note there's a fair amount of debris and garbage and trash that accumulates throughout the channel. The terminus of the San Miguelito Creek channel and the storm drain system, where the majority of storm water flows out of the city of Lompoc, is at this location in this large culvert. The county animal control has a pound here, an animal pet pound here. And from a kind of aerial from the aerial perspective, that east-west, or rather the San Miguelito channel comes north here, and that culvert I just showed you is right here. It then enters an earthen but maintained portion into this riparian gallery, which is again maintained by flood control periodically to maintain access to the Santa Ynez River. Some of the other outfalls along the other part of town are smaller, of course, and they have a more informal look to them, but this is a head wall that goes underneath the city's new multipurpose trail along the San Ynez River before it outfalls over into the riparian area of the San Ynez River.
Dominic, do you happen to know whether Sea Camp has a monitoring station somewhere close?
Yes, the Sea Camp monitoring station is I believe it's either, well, I wish I don't know precisely where it is, but they have a station that they consider to be representative of the stormwater flow coming out of Lompoc. Because I believe it's because it's in the river just below the confluence with Samuel Vigor Channel. So that's the CCAMP location.
Does any staff person here today have any of the data for that CCAMP station?
I may have some actually in my folder. I can dig that out for later reference if you'd like. Okay. It's the summary of the CCAMP data.
Okay.
The newer developments in town kind of have this modernist or whatever that pattern is, that contemporary, you know, subdivision design with cul-de-sacs. And what they'll do is they'll collect all the stormwater from all these homes, and they'll route it to a basin, a stormwater detention basin. That basin will then percolate quite a bit of it, no doubt, but some of it will overflow under very higher events and enter a ditch down that leads its way down to the San Ynez River. The typical, you know, home is draining its roof through rain gutters, and in this situation, for example, it's directly connected to impervious sidewalks that then lead to the street. Other folks have detached their, you know, their down gutters or downspouts and allow for some infiltration right on site. But all of these lead to these drop inlets that are identified, that are located throughout the city, throughout this part of the community or the development. And then they lead to that stormwater detention basin, and that's a picture of it right here. This is the same one I showed you in the aerial view. Some of the more modern version of a stormwater detention looks like this. It's underway or under construction back in March, I think I took this photograph. So here they're planting, you know, native plants, and they're providing some, you know, trying to achieve some benefit through vegetation. But primarily this is a big detention basin to serve a development which went into this spot right here, which is dirt in this photograph, but has houses on it. This feature here is one of the few remaining relics of the alluvial plain hydrology that existed before Lompoc was built. And it's a wetland complex that is under protection and buffered by the city's protective policies. The basin I showed you, the newer basin under construction, is on the west side of this development. So the water bodies that and the beneficial uses that are of interest to us, the city storm drains, they flow into San Miguelito Creek, which I mentioned is it's been channelized by the county and is maintained as a flood control district or flood control facility. And then others drain directly to San Miguelito Creek, drains directly into, and other outfalls drain directly into the San Ynez River. The beneficial uses for these water bodies, both of which are identified water bodies with assigned beneficial uses, include groundwater, municipal water supply, the suite of aquatic life uses and recreational uses. The spawning beneficial use is not a beneficial use of the concrete channel, obviously. The stormwater management plan targets the normal suite of urban pollutants, but we've also, with the city and internally, performed a kind of a mini water quality assessment reviewing CCAMP data, for example, and we had tried to identify specific challenges that the stormwater management plan really needed to focus on. And in this case, once again, it's the conventional suite of urban pollutants, but there is also a large amount of trash in the storm drains, and because the streets are part of the storm drain system, it's considered to be a part of that. The trash is part of that system as well. The pollutant loading and hydromodification issues seem to be significant and worth addressing. And in one case, we have an industrial type of industrial facility that has become a little bit problematic with in recent times as more winery facilities have moved into Lompoc's kind of light industrial areas. So the the stormwater management plan was intended to address these, and these winery impacts are essentially occurring because certain activities are taking place outside of the covered structure of the winery, like the offloading of crates of grapes and the washing, perhaps, of trucks. But neighbors apparently are complaining that there is some, you know, wash-off from these facilities entering the storm drain. Of course, this is 100% imperviousness right here, leading directly into an inlet that goes to a storm drain. I think in terms of the potential for pollutant loading and hydromodification problems, Lompoc really is presented with both a challenge and an opportunity. The challenge is sites like this with a lot of imperviousness. You can see relics of the railroad system through there, light industrial facilities. Again, probably an abundance or overabundance of imperviousness that is generating pollutants and is not being filtered as it before it enters into the storm drain in some cases. In some cases, there are basins that are collecting this, but it's not being filtered in this site. Similarly, the increased volume of runoff from this kind of impervious area is going to increase the loading of pollutants. So from a challenge point of view, that's the challenge they have, but on the opportunity side of it, redevelopment of a site like this could really incorporate low-impact development features, could reduce the amount of imperviousness, could increase the infiltration, could achieve a range of benefits for water quality. The stormwater management plan, as you're probably familiar, it describes that framework that the city will use to implement its program for managing stormwater. It does so by identifying a set of BMPs and measurable goals, or best management practices and measurable goals. It sets forth a 5-year schedule to develop and implement the program. And the city will submit annual reports that detail program compliance, best management practice implementation, and the effectiveness of the various practices and measurable goals. The stormwater management plan is not a one-shot deal. If you approve the stormwater management plan today, it's not fixed in time. It is an adaptive program. Every year, we will evaluate the program's compliance and performance. We will conduct audits of the stormwater management plan. And with each year's review, we'll provide a set of recommendations. And this general permit provides for our authority to request changes to the program to address shortcomings. So Water Board staff will have a commitment here as well to provide the appropriate oversight of the program through time. The City of Lompoc has submitted 5 stormwater management plans in 5 years. They've always responded in a timely manner to the enrollment, through the schedule demands of the enrollment cycles, and they've always been eager to be enrolled under the general permit. You may recall when we set the schedule for enrollment last December, the city had written a letter requesting to be put at the front of the line. So we've got them into the second enrollment cycle. Staff reviewed the stormwater management plan, and we found that it does provide the comprehensive approach intended for these plans. It addresses all of the minimum control measures, the 6 minimum control measures identified in the Clean Water Act and in the general permit, but that it is missing key best management practices, and we feel that without those, that the entire program is falling short of achieving the standard of maximum extent practicable. In particular, we feel that hydromodification control is a necessary component and needs to be included in the SWMP, a commitment to develop that control. We believe that long-term watershed protection needs to be a goal for the city, and elements of the illicit discharge program need to be improved, or the illicit discharge control program and detection. We also feel that there were details on the education, public outreach and education, and public involvement minimum control measures that required more detail. And so, in short, we believe that there are additional BMPs required to meet maximum extent practicable, and the resolution that we're proposing you adopt today includes those required changes in the table of required changes.
Hey, Dominic?
Yes.
Now, you said that they had submitted 5 drafts in 5 years, and I'm assuming each of those drafts was somehow not up to some standard. And were all 4 of these missing key BMPs? Is that what you were looking for in each of those 5 drafts?
No, things have changed. This is a moving target, as you and the city is painfully aware.
Yeah. Well, see, this is where I'm getting. Okay. I'm having some trouble. Since it's a moving target, at what point do we actually enroll them? And as it keeps moving and changing,
I mean, that would be today, is my hope.
Okay. I'm just wondering why it took 5 times. Since we're, you know, it's always moving and changing. You know, why didn't we, you know, after about the 2nd or 3rd one, say, okay, we're going to do this because it's going to be changing and moving? I mean, it's a little frustrating.
It is very frustrating, and I think the frustration has been expressed at meetings that have that really preceded the development of the new enrollment strategy. Yeah. The first couple of iterations of review and comment on the plans resulted in a recommendation from staff to enroll them, to approve the swamp.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, we were embroiled in other swamp hearings and approval processes. And those processes effectively changed the dynamic and the set of expectations we have for stormwater management plans. We evolved in our expectations. The board evolved in its expectations. And at the end of some of the more controversial plans, like the Monterey Regional Stormwater Management Plan, the Santa Barbara County Stormwater Management Plan, and the San Luis Obispo County Plan, after those hearings were completed, it became evident that the previous standards by which we would approve a swamp were no longer appropriate, that there are constituencies throughout the Central Coast who, in fact, would say, no way, you've got to up the ante here. So the board, staff, and the constituencies all agreed that we needed to be more clear with our expectations. So the enrollment strategy accomplished that. The February 15th letter accomplished that. It said, here's what we expect to see in your plan, and it's, in effect, set a new standard. So at that point, the city of Lompoc was, you know, a victim of that sort of process of false starts and finding our way. But after February 15th, I think that the expectations have been very clear, and the enrollment process is moving a lot smoother. But I completely agree that we have had a lot of frustration and a regretful amount of effort on the part of the city and staff to review plans over and over and over. So I'm hoping that's behind us.
That's what I was concerned about.
So the first round of comments that we received on the stormwater management plan and this new enrollment process were made on the stormwater management plan that was posted for 60 days. And basically there were 3 types of comments. There were comments that we felt would in fact improve the swamp, or recommendations that would improve the swamp, but we didn't feel were necessary to achieve the maximum extent practicable standard. In other words, there'd be improvements, but they wouldn't necessarily push it in one way or another relative to the standard. There were other comments that supported what the staff was requiring and asking for, the additional BMPs. And then there were a third group of changes that, or comments that pointed to changes that really did need to be made that water board staff had not necessarily identified, but the public had, and that we felt really merited consideration and would be appropriate as additional requirements. These responses to comments and the comments themselves are in attachment 12 of your staff report. So those represent the comments received on the stormwater management plan itself. The supplemental sheets are supporting another or presenting to you another set of comments and responses. And those are comments that were made on the resolution, which was posted 30 days prior to this meeting, and on the staff report, which was posted with the agenda for today's meeting. So you'll see those in Supplemental Sheet 1, the first round of comments we received. Our responses are in Supplemental Sheet 2. And in those comments, the Santa Barbara Channel Keeper suggested that they continue to have concerns about public involvement and about the city's approach to illicit discharge detection and elimination. And we actually agreed with them on some points, and we've made additional required changes. So the responses to their comments led to additional changes, which are part of a revised resolution. The Home Builders Association similarly had very good points about the timing and the practical issues associated with applying interim criteria. And we were responsive to those as well with changes to our requirements. And in particular, requirement number 21 is a new requirement reflecting the interest of the Home Builders Association. The city, however, submitted a more substantial list of comments that contested several of our required revisions. Approximately half of our required revisions were, in effect, rejected. They considered the requirements that we are imposing or recommending the board approve to exceed state and federal regulations. And the federal regulations actually state that best management practices for these communities should attempt to maintain pre-development runoff conditions. So we don't feel we've exceeded any regulatory limits there. They've also pointed out that conditions we're expecting conditions and hydro modification controls to be applied prematurely, that other, you know, phase one communities are just now starting. This is not appropriate for phase twos, that the phase two permit is about to be redrafted at the state level, and we really ought to wait for that to come out before we start asking for this kind of thing. But our response to that is that, in fact, other communities within our region are actually proceeding with development of interim criteria. City of Santa Barbara, City of Santa Maria has actually proposed to develop them, and the communities around Santa Cruz have as well. Furthermore, there's a lot of projects in the pipeline. As you're aware, the California Subdivision Map Act allows for a project to be vested, and then it's vested for 5 years, and under economic times such as these, you get another 2 years. So we actually have a kind of a set of projects in the pipeline that are going to be built and could potentially affect hydro modification. Our controls wouldn't even address those. So we have a potential risk associated with the development that's already proposed. Their position that hydro modification control is not practical, they're going to present that to you, I'm sure, today. But frankly, we don't have the evidence to date that supports that point of view. And additionally, the city of Lompoc will have an opportunity in the development of its hydro modification controls to actually demonstrate what limits there are for the use of hydro modification control there. They've also indicated in their comment that the hydro modification is, and the effects of hydro modification aren't really problems in Lompoc because of the, you know, concrete channels and that kind of thing. But I think it's worth noting that the urbanization or the history of urbanization of Lompoc is really the history of altering the hydrologic regime of an alluvial plain. So there's already substantial alteration in place. There's an extensive flood control infrastructure and ongoing maintenance of that infrastructure that can pose risk to hydro modification. As I mentioned, there are projects in the pipeline that I would say that for the next 7 years we're going to be seeing projects developed, small projects in some cases, but projects developed according to standards that are now 5 years old perhaps. And then, of course, as I showed you in the aerial photograph, the entire area west of town is agricultural. And there is every reason to think that there will be adjustments to the city's boundaries and growth into areas that are currently not under urbanized use.